Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
We are joined right now by our good friend Phil Holloway, Fox News legal analyst, former DA, of course, member of the Rational Ground COVID Policy Task Force think tank as well. Phil Holloway, how are you? Welcome back.
Oh, I'm doing great, buddy. I hope you are. I hope all is well in St. Louis.
It is pretty good. We're enjoying a nice spring, although there's some storms in the forecast for today. But you must be busy lately because I have not spoken with you. We've communicated a little bit via text message and on the Twitter, if you will. But you've been in court a lot lately, haven't you?
Yeah, it's one of those things. You know, in the springtime, a lot of judges want to make up for lost time and everything that didn't get done during spring break. You know, they want to pile it on. Of course, the media is keeping us all busy. There's just one thing after another, from Donald Trump to the situation here in Atlanta. There's certainly much to talk about.
Well, give me an update on the situation with Fonnie Willis, because that seems to have been eclipsed a little bit by what's going on in New York. We'll get to that, Phil, in just a moment. But what is there anything new on the case in Atlanta right now?
So with respect to her disqualification issue, you know, the defense has raised the issue of conflict of interest and, of course, has said that she should be disqualified for that, and because she was essentially talking negatively about the defendants in public, which is a violation of certain legal requirements for prosecutors. The Court of Appeals is now considering whether it wants to agree to take up the question of her disqualification on appeal. It's a two-part process. The trial judge has to agree to allow the defense to appeal his ruling pre-trial, and he said yes, but of course the Court of Appeals also has to agree to hear it. If they agree to hear it, then they move on to the second question. Does she or does she not get to stay on as the prosecutor? Now, that if that happens, we can expect oral argument, I would say, in about 60 to 90 days from now, so that will be sometime over the summer.
How does that, okay, then that'll kind of wind us into the situation in New York. Is that going to time out where he goes from one trial to the next, basically?
Well, no, he's not going to wind up on trial here in Fulton County in the foreseeable future, because this issue has to run its course through the appeals court. There's another issue brought by co-defendant Harrison Floyd as to whether or not Willis even had jurisdiction to bring this case in the first place. And that issue is likewise on a similar path to potentially to be heard by the Court of Appeals pretrial. There are other things, of course, that have to be litigated still. They're still having pretrial motions. And I just don't see, honestly, a trial being able to occur in that case here in the foreseeable future.
So let's move to New York here, because you made the point on the ex, formerly Twitter, that this is certainly a kangaroo court. The judge is doing weird things. We know about the bias that's involved here. They are seemingly having some success picking jurors, Phil. How do you assess this right now?
Yeah, so they're moving much quicker than many, including myself, would have expected. The goal is to find an impartial and unbiased a group of 12 people. And I think really that under the circumstances, the deck is stacked against Trump in Manhattan. He only won, I think, 12% of the vote there last time around. And so, look, if he can get 10 to 12% of the jury, so a handful of people, one or two or maybe even three, that are at least open-minded enough to consider some of the very dubious charges against him, the legal theory is just absurd, in my opinion. But in any event, if he can get a handful of fair-minded people who will say, look, first off, this may not be a crime, and even if it is, they haven't proved it, then he could probably eke out a hung jury and a mistrial. I don't see unanimous group of 12 out of Manhattan acquitting Donald Trump.
What law did he break, Phil? What law did President Trump break there?
Well, I don't think he broke any kind of law, in my opinion, but the district attorney is saying that he committed what's called, bookkeeping fraud, or basically that he entered something into the books of the Trump Corporation, that was in error or was fraudulent. Now, if true, that would be a misdemeanor. However, they are saying that because he did so, according to the DA, with the intent to cover up commission of another crime, which they did not specify, they're saying that elevates it to a felony violation of the law in New York, and the statute of limitations would not have expired on a felony. But the problem, Mark, is that the indictment does not specify what Donald Trump is accused of doing, and specifically with respect to what other crime he was attempting to allegedly hide. And you've got to put somebody on notice of exactly what they are accused of if your indictment is going to pass muster under the Sixth Amendment, which says that you've got a right to be put on notice of that. And so it's just a problematic case all the way around.
Hey, Phil, how about these protests at Columbia University where there have actually been arrests? And then you have the nutbags at Google that decided to protest their employers, and they were fired. I'm actually a little surprised with a woke company like that. But we're seeing some action that we haven't seen maybe in the last 6 months take place.
Yeah, and I'm surprised to see it in the context of Google. And, of course, I'm surprised to see it in New York. But I'm pleasantly surprised, because when these folks decide that they're going to protest, that's one thing. But when they do so and they violate my rights and your rights to travel and to engage in interstate commerce and to go about the business of our daily lives, then they've committed a crime. And they may not be hitting anybody. They may not be shooting anybody. But that is not a peaceful protest. It's a breach of the peace. And honestly, I don't understand why, with the Golden Gate Bridge, for example, in situations like that, why police just in some places sit back and allow them to break the law. They falsely imprisoned all of those people on the Golden Gate Bridge, and that's a felony crime. And if you did it, or if I did it, we'd be thrown under the jail, and we'd be left there to rot, probably without bail. But if you do it in some of the woke lefty places, like we saw in Chicago and San Francisco and even up in the Seattle area, you just get to do whatever you want, whenever you want, without regard to being punished in any way. And I think you can draw a straight line all the way back to the riots and the autonomous zones that we saw back in the Summer of Love in 2020, where these people engaged in that kind of conduct with impunity. You could draw a line from that to what we're seeing in some of these places today. But hopefully more jurisdictions will follow the lead of New York and start dragging these folks off to jail.
Hey, Phil, I subscribed to the YouTube channel today. Tell folks about that.
Well, we started I've been very blessed. I'm very pleased. It's youtube.com/Philip Holloway or at Inside the Law. And that's a new podcast, video podcast that I'm doing on YouTube. And the goal here is to bring people inside the real criminal justice system, not the justice system that they may think that we have, from watching TV or the movies, but the real thing. We're going to show you what I see in my professional life and what I've seen throughout my career, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's ugly or anything in between. We'll take you inside the law. And I would encourage you and anybody who's interested in learning, whether you're a true crime junkie or you just have intellectual curiosity about the justice system, to check it out.
I love it. Good stuff. It's right up our alley here on this show for sure. Sue Thomas, a big fan of that stuff. Phil, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Great to hook up again. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk soon.
Always happy to be here, brother.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.